to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Hey, remember in school when the teacher, like, you know, you'd go to class and you'd sit down, you kind of, you know, you're sitting at your little desk thing or whatever you guys had in like high school or whatever you think school looks like in your mind. I don't want to tell you what school looks like. I just want to relate something to you that I know you've experienced. So you're sitting down in the classroom at your desk or whatever your environment looks like. Teacher shows up, and you know what the teacher says? We have a pop quiz. Yeah, pop quiz. Remember those pop quizzes? Yeah, when the teacher would come in and just randomly decide that, you know, he or she was going to test your knowledge base. Yeah, I don't know about you, but whenever pop quizzes showed up, it was always on the day that I really didn't prepare for classes. It's kind of like the teacher knew that, you know, I was goofing off the night before, I was hanging out with my buddies playing sports or whatever we were doing. And when I went to class, it was like, okay, take out a pencil, take out a paper, we're going to have a pop quiz. I'm going to have a pop quiz for you today. Yeah, I just, you know what? I'm in this weird mood where I'm just going to ask you some questions and let's see how you answer. Now, this is going to be interesting because this radio thing, it's kind of a one-way dialogue. So let's play it this way. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. In your mind, I want you to answer those questions. And then we'll kind of have a one-way conversation. So here's the first question I have for you. And it has to do with the housing market. Do you believe that we're in a housing bubble? Now, some of you may not recall what a housing bubble is described as. A housing bubble is something that occurs when all of a sudden pricing becomes dramatically overinflated. It's like pricing has been going up and up and up and up, and the people watching it who are trying to analyze it to tell the rest of us what's going on, they're all scratching their heads and they're confused. Want an example of what a potential bubble might look like? All right, take a look at a stock chart. Yeah, take a look at maybe the Dow Industrial Average, or possibly take a look at something like the NASDAQ Composite. I mean, these are stock charts that are showing the potential for a bubble, because all of a sudden pricing has gone up more dramatically than ever before. So that's my question to you. Are we in a housing bubble? Now, some of you might be thinking, well, yeah, according to the news, we're in a housing bubble. Oh, okay. And who's your source? Where are you getting your information from? Because here's the problem I have with the news. And I'm going to get editorial on you right now. The problem I have with the news is that one time in this country, at least this is my belief, at one time in this country, journalists were objective. Journalists really wanted to sit down and figure out what the facts were regarding a situation they were looking into. And they would report on those salient facts. But here's the problem. Journalism is an industry. Yes, it is an industry. Journalism in our country today is a collection of factual news and a collection of a bunch of opinions. You heard me correctly, a bunch of opinions. If you're going to cite somebody or something that says we're in a housing bubble right now, make sure you do your due diligence. Take a look at who actually wrote the article. Maybe take a look at some of their sources. Maybe take a look at what their background is. Because not all sources are created the same, and not all journalists are created the same. That's just the way it is. So are we in a housing bubble? You might be answering yes. You might be seeing information out there that is telling you, yes, we're definitely in that housing bubble. But I don't think so. That's my opinion. I mean, I talked about this yesterday on the show, and I'm going to talk about it more today, because here's the concern I have. When you start listening to information that is presented in the media or wherever you get your sources of information from, if you don't identify whether that information is quality information or not, you could be following flawed information. You absolutely could be following flawed information. And that's the concern I have with this whole concept of a housing bubble out there. Yeah, I mean, people are sitting back and they're going, oh my gosh, look at the price of housing. It's gone up dramatically. Okay, yeah, pricing has gone up. Maybe that is a result of inflationary pressures that have been suppressed while we've decided to go into a lockdown for 15 months in this country. And now as we're starting to open back up, there is all this repressed money sitting out there that wants to get to work. And that repressed money is competing for space in the inventory of properties out there because there are people that aren't interested in selling their properties right now. It doesn't make sense to them whether they own them as homes that they live in, whether they own them as rental investment property. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So what we have to do is we really have to sit back and we have to look at the salient facts. Because I will tell you this, depending on who you listen to, if you're listening to the right people, and these are the people that I believe are correct, people like Peter Linneman, I think what is absolutely happening right now is I think we are seeing an adjustment of pricing because we're coming out of this lockdown. It's an inflationary effect, but I don't think the prices are going to come back down. I really don't. I think we're looking at the new normal. And we come back from the break, I'm going to share with you some research that I did, and maybe it'll help change your opinion. Maybe not. Stick around.
Del Wamsley talks about positive cash flow tax-free.
I bought one little rent house. So a month later, I bought three more. Now I started receiving even more positive cash flow. $880 a month positive cash flow after just 2 months. This cash flow was tax-free because of the way I did it. Because if you know how to do it the right way, you won't pay taxes on that.
Give yourself a raise. Tax-free. Find out how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register today at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Wamsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So, hey, if it were Halloween, I could go boil, toil, and trouble. Oh, wait a minute. That's not how it goes. It goes bubble, toil, and I don't know. I forgot how that stuff works. But where I'm going is I'm talking about all this talk about a housing bubble out there. Yeah, it's rampant out there. I mean, really? You don't know about it? Okay. Well, if you don't know about it, let me impart on you what's been going on. The real estate market's on fire. And there are a lot of people out there that are comparing what's happening in the real estate markets today to what happened around the 2008 timeframe. Yeah, there are some parallels. There are some parallels. But here's the thing. the financial underpinnings of these markets, well, they're completely different. They really are. Because what was going on back in, you know, 2005, 2006, 2007, was you had an industry that was really out of control. I mean, think about it. Anybody could get something called a no verification loan. In other words, you just went to a lender and said, I make $500,000 a year. And that lender looks at you and they go, okay. And they smile and they write it down. They say, you make $500,000. They don't verify that. No, they don't. They don't check to see if you have bank accounts. They don't check to see if you have money being deposited into some account that proves you're actually making this money. No, they just go wink and a nod. You're good to go. See, back then we had all this no document mortgage stuff going on and it was out of control. And the biggest problem was this: when the pricing started going up on houses, it's like the gold rush. It was like the gold rush because all of a sudden people came out of nowhere to buy properties, to own those properties. Maybe they didn't do a darn thing to those properties except sit on them for 3 or 6 months and then put them back onto the market 3 or 6 months later and sell them, essentially flipping them for a higher price. I mean, that's what was going on. And the frenzy, I mean, it was like throwing chum into a school of sharks. The frenzy was out there. It was out there. And people are making comparisons today to that frenzy. But here's the problem. The mortgages that people are utilizing to buy these properties, I'll tell you what, these lenders are double checking everything. Oh yeah, the underwriters actually are doing their jobs. They are verifying based on banking and lending regulations your net worth. They are verifying the statements that you make in order to generate that loan. They're actually going to verify that the rents that you think that property will command are reasonable in the marketplace. If you are identified, and this is a good thing, if you are identified as somebody that has a very solid business model and business plan, you can get everything set up all at once, get all of that qualification and underwriting done up front. You can actually start buying investment properties and you can keep going property after property after property until you've distributed all of your cash. See, we have lenders at Lifestyles Unlimited that understand our business model. They understand what we do. They support us as we put that business model to work. They work with many of our members. They know what a good business flow looks like. And when a Lifestyles Unlimited member comes to them after having been properly educated on how to invest in properties, it's a good relationship because those lenders can get you set up with everything that you need so that you can compete in the marketplace. And here's the other thing. Back in like 2005, 2006, 2007, man, the appraisal industry was, well, it was bad. It was really bad. I mean, appraisers were just, I think what was going on, and not to beat up on the appraisal industry, I think things were just moving so darn fast that appraisers were trying to put actual appraisals on property, but because the appraisers weren't even keeping up with the craziness of the price increasing of the markets, the appraisers weren't keeping up with where the market's expectation was, so they were getting a bad rap, and they were just like, you know what, I'm trying to protect you, because that's my job as an appraiser, is to give an opinion of value so that everybody knows what's going on here, so that, you know, the buyer doesn't overpay and the lender doesn't over leverage. And you, as the owner of the property, don't get yourself into financial headaches. But y'all want me to just put whatever price down. And I think that was kind of going on. I do think that was going on. So you had a mortgage industry that was off the rails. You had an appraisal industry that I think just threw up their hands. Yeah. And you've got entities out there, people that went out and found ways to create AAA credit ratings for derivative products that were backed by junk quality mortgage loans. Because that's what was going on. If you went and bought a property, and let's just say, giggles and grins, you bought a property for $200,000 back in the former bubble, back in the early 2000s. And let's say that property went up to, you know, $250,000 like in a couple of months. You've got the property for $200,000. Now you sell it for $250,000. Now, because that price has actually been artificially inflated, somebody's going to come in and they're going to put $50,000 down, take a $200,000 note out on that property, and they're going to own that property. And then all of a sudden somebody comes along and they go, hey man, I'll pay you $300,000 for it. So now that guy sells, and now the next guy comes on, he puts 20% down. So what's I don't know, $300,000, what's 20% of that? $60,000. He puts $60,000 down, okay, and he takes out a loan for the difference, like, you know, $240,000. But here's the problem, that real value of that property really never went up that fast. It's artificial pressures in the marketplace that are increasing those prices. And as a result of that, now you've got lenders out there that have mortgages in these properties that are excessively overvalued because everything is off the rails. But that's not what I'm seeing in today's market. Not even close. I bought three properties at the end of last year. The lending qualification process was probably the most stringent that I ever sat through. But I'll tell you this, my properties were priced correctly. They were validated by appraisal, and now they're worth more. That's what the market's doing. Stick around, I got more for you.
Dale Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy that used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Dale, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited. Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so I have some information I want to share with you about the so-called bubble that's going on out there. Now, I've done a lot of reading. I've done a lot of research. And I found that one particular author does a very good job of supporting the facts that I have determined are relevant. Yeah, that's correct. So there's a gentleman by the name of Raul Elizalde, and he wrote an article about a week ago in Forbes where he's talking about the reasons why there is no real estate bubble out there. And he makes some very, very clear facts, and he supports those facts with evidence. So I'm going to hit you with the facts. So this is kind of Raul backing up me, because I want you to understand that I believe this stuff that he's written, and I think he's correct. And I think that we're seeing an adjustment of pricing in the marketplace. I firmly believe we're seeing an upward adjustment of pricing. Because, I mean, if you take a look at what pricing has done for a long time in this country, it's kind of stayed flat. It really has, even with real estate, even San Francisco real estate. Okay, maybe not San Francisco real estate. But here's the point. Markets are going to do what markets are going to do. Yeah, you can't control them. I can't control them. The guy down the street, he can't control them either. Bill Gates might think he controls them, but he does not. Warren Buffett is smart enough to understand to leave those markets alone and just pay attention to what they're doing. I mean, that's how Buffett makes all of his money, by understanding what's going on in the markets. That's what you need to do too. You need to be able to step back and filter through all this noise out there and get down to the salient facts of what's really going on in our economy. There's a lot of people out there that they just want to spin you up. They just want to wind your batteries up, and they want you to like fly off the handle. Why? I don't know why. Well, I know why, because there's probably some profit motive for them to do that. I mean, that's what goes on with all this social media stuff, right? It's all about getting likes and all this other garbage, right? Yeah, but it's a popularity contest. Popularity contests don't have financial relevance. They really don't. So let me get back to what Raul's arguing. He's arguing 3 points, and I agree with all three of these points. So the first point that Raul's making is he is saying that there is no credit boom out there. No, there's no credit boom out there. Yeah, I mean, come on. Very little of what happened back in 2005 through maybe 2008, like close to none, is happening today. Have you tried to go out and get financing for something other than maybe a car, consumer debt, that kind of thing? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I've bought some properties. And those lenders, I mean, they wanted to know everything about me. I'm in the process of preparing to buy a replacement property for my principal residence because we're getting ready to sell this thing. So, again, I'm working with a lender that is literally peeling back my onion. They are verifying all of my information. I think that is good because I think it gets things like fraud and other things out of the picture. The markets are healthier when the markets are healthy, when they're not polluted with a bunch of bad things like what happened back in the early 2000s. And here's the other thing. The lending standards, now they've tightened up. I think the banks got spanked pretty hard back in the day. And I think they have realized that maybe they shouldn't have gotten into bed with some of the people that they got into bed with way back in the day. And as a result, the government has tightened down the standards and the government's enforcing it. And here's the result. Here's the result that Raul points out in his article. The result of all this happening has led to the lowest ratio of real estate loans to the total number of loans that commercial banks provide going all the way back to the 1980s. So why is that significant? Well, here's why. When boom and bust real estate crises occur, they're most often rooted in some type of lending bubble. In other words, something's gone hairy with how we do business financially in this country. And the decline in real estate lending suggests that the driver of today's bull market in residential property, it's not due to speculation. Rather, it's a consequence. And this is the point that Roe makes. It is the consequence of a demand-supply imbalance that was years in the making. Yeah. Yeah. Because what's going on in our country? We have a shortage of housing. We have a shortage of housing. If you look at new housing starts over the last 20 years, America has not built enough new product. As a matter of fact, when we were going crazy bananas in 2005, 6, 7, driving up prices because we were doing stupid stuff with mortgage lending that caused the prices to surge and the bottom to fall out. What happened after that? Well, pricing was depressed because anybody that had been in the game were out of the game. People that knew what they were doing got into the game and wasn't like free money everywhere, but they were able to buy at depressed prices and they were able to build their real estate values back up over time because eventually that market came back. But here's what also didn't happen like in the 2008 to 2000 whatever time period. New construction stopped. Yeah, I mean, new home builders found it impossible to make a profit based on what it cost them to build a house versus what they could sell it for. I mean, that was the result that we entered into in this country, in the marketplace. Now, we're in a completely different place right now because The population in the United States, it's growing. Yeah, through natural births, through legal immigration, through illegal immigration. There are more people in this country today than there were 20 years ago. That's a fact. And all of these people need a place to live. And we as a nation have not really done a good job providing the housing stock that's necessary. And it's exacerbated in parts of the country where growth is really going on. I mean, look at what's going on in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I mean, they are on fire up there. They are building as much new product as they can, and they can't get it going fast enough. They're renovating as much existing product as possible, and they can't get it done fast enough. In the multifamily world, there are not enough Class A brand new apartments being built to meet demand. So what meets that demand? Well, people like you and me that buy Class B and Class C apartments, existing housing stock that we bring new life into and provide a great place for people to live. The location is still great, but the property's just a little tired. This is what's going on in the marketplace. Prices are going up. Yes, they are. Are they going up a little faster maybe that we're comfortable with? Yes, they are. But the underlying problem is not really a problem. It's really an opportunity. And you've got to start switching your mindset to look at it through that lens. We come back from the break. I'm going to bring up the other 2 points that Raul makes, because he does a good job of just closing the deal. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited invites you to the world's largest wealth and passive income expo, September 3rd and 4th, Irving, Texas. You'll connect with successful investors and industry experts. Learn being real estate retired at any age. Attend breakout sessions with industry experts. Learn from real people successfully investing in real estate right now. Leave with your passive income plan in hand. The entire Lifestyles Unlimited team of realtors, mentors, educators, and operational consultants want to meet you Friday and Saturday, September 3rd and 4th in the Metroplex, Irving Convention Center, Las Colinas. Join thousands of top investors and multimillionaire real estate investor Dell Wamsley. Dell is mentor to top award-winning investors across the country. Go to WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Enter promo code FREEDOM and receive $97 off any pass or package. That's WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Promo code FREEDOM. WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. Bubble, bubble, toil, and trouble. Now, I had to look that up because I thought I had gotten it wrong, and actually there's different variations of it. Apparently, it sourced all the way back to William Shakespeare. He said it something a little different, but it doesn't matter. That's noise. What I just told you is noise. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have any semblance of framework in what's important. It doesn't. It's noise. And that's what all this bubble talk is about. I'll call it the way I see it. There are people out there that will go out on a limb and they will say, here's my prediction. The market is going to implode. We are in a massive bubble. Mark my words. And if it happens, they're going to promote themselves. They're going to say, see, I told you, I had it all figured out. If it doesn't happen, they're probably just going to go quietly into the background until the next opportunity comes around where they can try and get the spotlight put on them. So we're talking about three of the major points that Raul makes in his Forbes article that support all the research that I've done. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I was actually starting to make his second point because I get a little passionate on this stuff. I was telling you before we went to the break that part of this problem is a result of a lack of inventory being built over the years. And Raul supports that fact. As a matter of fact, what he did was he essentially graphed housing starts. Yeah, he provided me a graph of housing starts going all the way back to like January of 1959. That was before even I was born. And when you look at this thing, when you look at this graph, what you see is that housing starts, depending on the year, have gone up or they've gone down. It's just depending on what's going on in the economy at that time. But the sweet spot seems to be about 150,000 units per year of new housing stock. I mean, that's about what they were producing in January of 1959. It's about what they were producing in January of 1979. That's about what they were producing in January of 1995. That's about what they were producing in January of 07. Now, there are periods where the housing stock supply went up above 1,500, and there are periods where it went down below 1,500. And here's the biggest problem. This graph that I'm looking at completely supports the point I made in the last segment, because when all of this mortgage stuff created the floor to fall out of the housing market back in 2008, it also created a massive drop in new housing starts. As a matter of fact, what I'm looking at here is in January of 09, barely, well, just a little bit above, maybe 50,000 housing units. Yeah, 50,000. That's not a lot. That's not a lot compared to when they were doing 150,000 kind of on average. And it's gone up to like 200,000 per year. So there's this massive hole in the inventory that was created by what happened in 2007, 2008. And that supply and demand imbalance, you know, it occurred because of the two reasons that I've cited. I mean, the first one is that it took some time for consumers to rebuild their own finances before they were ready to buy another home. I mean, I was one of these guys that got damaged. I had to short sell a property. I couldn't buy a follow-on property because my credit was dinged for 2 years. I had to go rent a house. You know, it's just the way it was. Fortunately, I found a house to rent. Here's the other thing that happened. The very number of new households dipped in the aftermath of the crisis. Yeah. And you're saying, what does that mean? What are you talking about? Oh, okay. Here's a point that Raul brings out that I kind of missed, but he's making a very good point. He says, according to the United States Census Bureau, there were actually fewer households in the United States in 2020 than there were in 2019. So during coronavirus, the number of households constrained. Now, why is that? I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to go with the stat, though, because that's a stat that is measurable. And here's the point Raul makes. He says, this is due to the unique characteristics of the 2020 recession. And he talks about the lockdowns. He talks about forcing people to consolidate living quarters. And what he's saying is it set up the conditions for a sharp snapback of demand for new houses and new housing stock that we're dealing with today. People were hunkering down. People that maybe were damaged, maybe they're in the service industry. Man, their job was gone. There's no job for them to go to. That was my brother. My brother was in the service industry. And when coronavirus hit, man, it's like, hey, dude, we got to let you go. And he's like, what? Yeah, but you can file for unemployment. He's like, dude, I've got an ex-wife and three kids I got to support, not to mention myself. I can't live off of unemployment. So what he did, he went to work for a major grocery chain, and then got a second job working for another major grocery chain. He was working 80 hours a week, week in and week out, because he had to replace that money. And that's the only work he could find during a pandemic, was to actually go to a place where, like, the only place you were allowed to go during a pandemic. That's what my brother did. People were doing what they had to do to get through 2020. We're starting to come out the other side. As a result of that, people are hungry. People are like, look, dude, I just put my life on hold for 15 months. I'm done with that. I want to go buy my house. I want to go have something nice. I want to buy investment property, whatever I want to do. The third point that Raul makes, when I first read this, I thought maybe he was off his rocker, but then I actually read his argument, and his argument makes total sense. He says that home prices are more affordable than they've ever been.
Yeah, they're more affordable. I mean, and here's the thing. I bought the house I'm in right now for about $405,000. I think I paid for this thing 8 years ago. We've got it on the market for 6.25. We're actually priced a little bit below what we think the market will bear because we want people to come in, see the beautiful property, and I'm okay with creating a bidding war. I mean, it's the only property I've got to sell. I might as well get top dollar for it, right? Okay, so that right there kind of is contrary to Raul's statement. Well, again, it gets back to looking at factual information that you can qualify. And that's exactly what Raul did. What he did was he said, look, mortgage payments for the median United States have not been this low as a percentage of household income since 1984. Yeah, that's what he says. And he's given me a beautiful chart that absolutely supports what he's saying. Ironically, let's put this in perspective. I'm selling a house right now. I've told you all this, right? I'm selling it for a certain price point. I pay X amount of dollars because I've got a mortgage on my property. I'm going to buy a replacement property. I am probably going to spend more money on a replacement property. Well, it's not probably. I already know that I am going to do that. And I've already got my financing laid out. I know what my purchasing power is. And I'm all approved. So essentially, when I decide what property I want to buy, everything's lined up and ready to go, I essentially can close like a cash deal. Yeah, that's how I operate in the real estate markets because I'm not going to let a cash buyer beat me. When I look at what my proposed financing rate will be on this follow-on property, I'm adjusting from like a 3.25% interest rate. I'm qualified for 2.49. That's a pretty healthy drop. That's 0.75 drop. My mortgage payment is actually going to be less than what I currently pay now because that's what's going on in the markets. And for you, you also have to understand that the cost of capital for the investment properties that you will acquire has never been lower in our lifetime. Money is the cheapest it has ever been in my lifetime and probably yours too. Here's what you really need to do. Stop listening to the noise. Stop listening to the hyperbole. Stop listening to all the pundits talking about the real estate bubble. Get your head in the game. Get to Lifestyles Unlimited right now. Become a member because you've got time to get the education that we will provide you so that you can still take advantage of the market forces that are in play right now. Because I'm seeing pricing. This is my opinion, but I'm going to see pricing. I think it's going to keep going up and it's going to level off, but I don't think it's going to come back down. Here's the takeaway. If you don't get into the market today and you wait until tomorrow, you're going to be dealing with tomorrow's market forces. And here, I got a deal for you. If you want to become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited and take advantage of very special promo pricing, send me an email at askal@luinc.com.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.